Well, as I mentioned, I got to thinking on some things, and I really don't have anything prepared. Some thoughts, and just jotted down some thoughts, and they're nothing new to any of you, but. And I didn't know, you know, what might be appropriate today, who might be here or not. The Lord knows those things. And, but I did want to say, you know, this is a special Sunday at Landmark Baptist. It's Resurrection Sunday. And all of them are Resurrection Sunday.
Right.
Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, all 52 of them. Every year. You know, that's why we meet on the first day of the week. Because our Lord rose gloriously from the grave. And we know that our Lord, according to the scriptures, rose from the grave the Sunday after Passover. Today is March 27th, right? Anybody know when Passover is this year?
April
the 22nd. Wait, something doesn't add up. What are they doing today? What are they celebrating today? You know, the Sunday after Passover would be April the 24th. So what's going on? Well, there's a lot of things that don't make sense about what they're doing today. I saw a brother shared a video clip that I looked at this morning. And I don't think we'll be doing this, but it was a couple of ladies, and I guess they travel around the country, and they go to all these Easter egg hunts, and they're out there yelling at people and whatever. And they had the lady has a cross with a stuffed rabbit on it, you know, like this, and she's yelling at the people that are having these Easter egg hunts and about their pagans and all this. And well, yeah, it is, but. It was just kind of interesting. And they had this one Baptist preacher that comes out, and here she is, he is talking to her. And, I mean, what can he say, you know? It's like, you know, and trying to justify that stuff. And I understand even about the dates. I've come across some folks of recent that, you know, they understand what's going on, so they still try to justify, and it's like, well, but you see, Passover, that's the rabbinic Passover. Well, see, the Jews are the ones that have the rabbis, right? And I understand there may have been some discrepancies of dates or whatever. So you're going to choose the dates that the Roman Catholic Church chose, you know, over the rabbinic Passover dates? I mean, what sense does that make? And yet, again, there's the endless justification of these things. And we've started and talked on these before, and I was just going to touch on a couple of them today, and you've heard them before. The very name of Easter. And now, I've read all these folks even try to justify that, and they, you know, going on in the Eastern Sun and East. I mean, really, really. I mean, get serious. I mean, just look at it. It comes from the pagan Ishtar, who was variously known as Astarte. In scriptures, she's most often known as Ashtaroth, this pagan goddess of fertility. And even, you know, the Romanists speak of her as... They don't call her Ashtaroth, they call her Mary, which has nothing to do with the mother of our Lord. But they call Mary the Queen of Heaven. Mary, where does that come from? Where in Scripture is someone called the Queen of Heaven? Well, there is in Scripture someone called the Queen of Heaven. But it's not Mary. It's not the Lord's mother. Jeremiah 7. And Brother Dale shared that verse with us again. You know, the things that God's people went through, and the depravity that many of them fell into as well. And God speaks to Jeremiah 7. I think I'll pick up in verse 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Look what they're doing. Again, so I don't advocate going out like these ladies, you know, trying to bust up everybody's Easter egg hunt. But, you know, look, can't you see what these folks are doing? In the name of Christianity, in the name of Jesus Christ? Seest thou what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes. Yeah, y'all heard of hot cross buns? I don't know if that's so much a southern thing, but I know a lot, I think up north, more so, you know, they associate that with the Easter thing. They have these hot cross buns for Easter. The women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Whoa! See, the Queen of Heaven is in Scripture. But I don't think I would be wanting to go name a church Mary Queen of Heaven after reading what God has to say about it. The children gather wood, the fathers kindle wood, the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? You see, again, folks get into that, and then they get confronted with the truth, and it's like, therefore saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and mine fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Yeah, there's mention of Ashtaroth in Scripture. There's mention of the Queen of Heaven. You know, I'm apt to tell folks when you get into these things, well, you can't find those things in Scripture. Yeah, well, but really, you can find them in Scripture. But they're not something that you would want to have anything to do with. The whole rabbits thing, and the, you know, it's just the fertility. And, of course, all around, we've got this morning folks having their sunrise services. Ezekiel 8, again, I could tell folks, well, there are no sunrise services in Scripture. Well, but, yeah, there really are. But it's not something you want to be having anything to do with. Ezekiel 8, verse 15. God speaks unto Ezekiel. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men. No, here, the Lord's house, there, you know, it's church. Or at least so they thought. 25 with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. And he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Yeah, there were sunrise services in Scripture. But you know, it just doesn't make any sense. If you read the Scriptures, and maybe I'll get to them, but the Lord did not come forth from the tomb at sunrise. The women are there at the tomb before sunrise, and he's gone. What does sunrise service have anything to do with that? Well, Ezekiel kind of gives us a little bit of light on that. I mean, it's straight out of paganism. And I really wasn't being tongue-in-cheek when I said today's Resurrection Sunday, because every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. We meet on the first day of the week because that is the day that the Lord came forth from the grave. The scriptures are abundantly clear on that. You can't really get around that. The biblical record, you know, sets forth those things. Just take one look at it. If you look over in John 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Okay, so she gets there, it's still dark. What does that have to do with these sunrise services that all these churches are partaking in? Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And then stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes laying. Yet he went not in. I always find that interesting, you know. As the young buck John, and then he goes running ahead and he gets there to the tomb and he's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I'm waiting for Peter. You know, I'm waiting for Peter to catch up with me. You know. He stooped down and looking in saw the linen clothes laying, yet he went not in. Good old Simon Peter. Then come Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And they went in also to the other disciple. Which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So, by sunrise, the resurrection had already occurred. Yeah. The women, the apostles had been there. This is Sunday morning. The resurrection's already taken place. Mark tells us in his gospel, in Mark 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week. And I understand, you know, to figure out the exact chronology of the events of the crucifixion is, you know, sometimes, you know, you can argue some of the details. What you cannot argue is that it was early the first day of the week. I mean, there's some, and this touches on what we're studying in Galatians. There's some that, you know, try to get back into this Jewish roots thing. And it's good to understand, you know, these things happen to them, you know, to be in samples to us, but not for us to become Jews. And some try to argue that, well, Jesus actually rose up a Jewish reckoning, you know, on the seventh day. Now, I understand, you know, our reckoning and the reckoning of the scriptures are different. I think it was sometime after sunset on Saturday, which would have been Sunday, the first day of the week. That's not the way we count it, but that's the way God counts it in the scriptures, all the way from creation. And the evening and the morning were the first day, you know, it's the evening and the morning. Not, we reckon we say the morning and the evening, but that's not biblical reckoning. It was the first day of the week. He rose from the dead the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Now again, folks can argue the exact chronology of the things. Some folks will argue for a Wednesday crucifixion, and I pretty much count myself in that. Other folks will argue for a Thursday crucifixion, and I think, you know, you can still you know, maintain the accuracy of Scripture and hope. But some folks argue for a Friday crucifixion. How in the world does that happen? And I understand if the Scriptures just said, well, he'll be in the grave for 3 days, and folks say, okay, well, there's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you count that 3 days or part of days. But you see, the Scripture goes beyond that. The Scriptures are always accurate. In the Scripture, in Matthew 12, in verse 40, in the Scriptures, and then quite literally, you know, the words of the Lord. Matthew 12 and verse 40, the Lord says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, again, some folks argue for an exact, you know, 72 hours. I don't know if that's... I do know that there were 3 days and 3 nights. I mean, if folks, you know, want to argue about whether it's exactly 72 hours or not, I don't think that the usage in Scripture necessarily requires that. But it does require 3 days and 3 nights, because it says 3 days and 3 nights. Well, let's figure, and given it the most liberal interpretation, you know, to try to, these folks that want to say a Friday, okay, so let's say he was laid in the grave Friday night, except, you know, that they're evening and the morning, so that would have counted as the Friday day, right? Okay, the next thing that comes is Saturday night. And then Saturday day, and then, wait a minute, and then, how do you get three of anything out of that? 3 days and 3 nights, you cannot do it. Now folks, again, can argue separately. If he was laid in the grave late Wednesday night, and then we would count Thursday night, Thursday day, because he was, the night comes the evening and the morning, and then Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day, and then he raises on Sunday morning. He's 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. Again, some folks arguing even part of the days, counting as days or nights. You know, you can argue for, there's no way you can go from Friday and end up with 3 days and 3 nights. It's impossible. And yet all these Baptists start to embrace these things. You see, all these embracing Good Friday and Maundy Thursday. And I still don't know exactly what that is. But I know Heather was talking the church she was in up in North Carolina. So they, and I think it's good, you know, we try if we can to observe the Lord's Supper in the context of the Passover, because that's when it took place. But so they were gonna, and so they have like a Lord's Supper on the Maundy Thursday. Now, when Baptists ever start talking that way, I don't know. And then what is this Maundy Thursday for the Easter thing that comes out of Rome anyway? You know, I don't get it. And maybe it's not as obvious in your face as Easter bunnies and whatever. I don't know what they know about that either, but it's really, it's just taking it right from Rome. So upon the first day of the week, again, back to Mark 16, verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. The first day of the week. So it could have been any time after sunset on Saturday. That would have count what we would count Saturday. After sunset on Saturday is Sunday. So anytime after sunset on Saturday, but before sunrise, because the scripture is abundantly clear about that, on Sunday. So it was all during that Sunday period. And between the sunset and the sunrise, that the Lord came forth from the tomb. All reckoned as the first day of the week. And again, consider even from creation where God said in Genesis 1, God called the day, the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And you can read all that through Genesis. The evening and the morning, the evening and the morning. You know, the Lord's resurrection was on the first day of the week. And later on, when he appears to his disciples, and so on. And all the scriptures give testimony to those things. And not only testimony, but prophetically, and we've touched on these before, and I don't have time to go into detail, but you know, these things were foretold. You know, the Lord is the first fruits. Well, the festival of the first fruits was on a Sunday. It was on the first day of the week. Sometimes they call it the eighth day of the week, which would have been first by our reckoning again. Leviticus 23, verse 10. Speaking of the children of Israel and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord and be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. Shall the priest wave it? Okay, the morrow after the Sabbath, that would be Sunday, the first day of the week. He shall offer that day when ye shall wave a sheaf and wave the sheaf and a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. The first fruits, and we've looked before the whole thing of a Pentecost, when the Lord's church was not when it started. The Lord started it during his early ministry. But at Pentecost, it was authenticated before the world. It was before the world. God said, this is my house in this age. We read about Pentecost in Luke 23, verse 15. And he shall count from you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought a sheaf of the wave offerings, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall be a number of 50 days. Seven, seven is 49, Sunday to Sunday, and then the morrow after the Sabbath, that would be 50 days, which is Sunday. It goes on to say, you shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deal. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord. Now, all this emphasis on first fruits. First fruits. What do we find when we come to the New Testament? Concerning our Lord's resurrection specifically. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You see, these things were shown in the Old Testament. Again, folks will argue some of this movement, whether it be the Seventh-day Adventists or the Hebrew roots or whatever things. You know, we ought to be worshiping on Saturday. I don't think so. You know, I think the scriptures are abundantly clear. The apostles who had been worshiping on the seventh day, you know, all their lives, They begin to meet on the first day. That's why they're meeting, you know, on the Pentecost day. Christ came forth. He was the first fruits of them that slept. He foreshadows our resurrection, even as these Old Testament feasts foreshadow his resurrection. And so every Sunday truly is a resurrection Sunday, being the first day of the week, which we remember the first fruits, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, again, I think it behooves us to stop and think on these things. And again, I didn't really have this much organized today. I just had some thoughts I wanted to share in case there were some folks here that we might need to make a testimony to as well. Because we ought not be ashamed to be different. We ought not be ashamed to not go along with the crowd. We ought not be ashamed that we don't have a Easter egg hunt. We ought not be ashamed that we don't celebrate Easter. And again, folks will say to you, well, but don't you believe in the resurrection? It has nothing to do with it. We believe in the resurrection so much so that, you know, we celebrate it hopefully every day, but particularly every first day of the week. But you don't have a sunrise service? But the Lord didn't come forth at sunrise. The tomb was already empty. What are these folks out there commemorating at sunrise? I don't know. I hope they don't know. You know, I hope that they're just ignorant. Because there's sunrise services in the scriptures, you know. But it's not something you want to be a part of. There's hot cross buns in scriptures, but it's not something that you want to be a partaker of. All these things, and they happened unto them to be in samples to us, as the scripture says. We might learn from them. And they were given, again, as patterns and types and pictures. But they were not given, as we pick up next week, Lord willing, in Galatians. They were not given, you know, that we might be brought under the law, that we might begin to worship as Jews, or as, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist would tell us that first-day worship is the mark of the beast. I don't know where that comes from. But the scripture quite clearly says the Lord rose on the first day of the week. And all those pictures and foreshadows in the Old Testament. I've had sermons. I got a sermon here I kind of just looked at briefly. You know, I don't know. Did I ever preach this just one Sunday? I think this sermon would take me about a month to preach. But as I look, I don't know if that's good or bad or what it means. But in any case. And again, we're not saying we're any better than anybody else. I share, but for the grace of God go we. You know, there, however many, not so many years ago were we. And it was only God's grace that brought us to see these things. And he might perhaps use us, you know, as we seek to be testimonies to these truths. I don't think a bunch of women traveling all around the country, you know, yelling at people at their Easter egg hunts is probably the way that's going to accomplish anything. Now, if you all start doing that here, I'll probably start yelling at you and whatever. But, you know, those folks, they were at Free Will. I don't even know what these women are. One, they showed cops coming to them at one place just talking to them. They're like, where do y'all go to church? Oh, we're travelers. So, you know, they travel around and yell at people, I guess. But what we know, what we believe, it's all by the grace of God. He's been pleased to open our eyes, and I pray that he might be pleased to teach us more as we go on. We glory in the resurrection. Were it not for the resurrection, as Paul says, we'd be of all men most miserable. I mean, that's what it's about. So do you believe in the resurrection? Yes. Yes, we do. We know our Savior lives. But do we celebrate Easter? No. No. And I can tell you why, if you want to know. And I think that ought to be our stance. Let's take our hymnals, and we'll turn to page number 378, Where We'll Never Grow Old. 378. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn.
I have heard of a land on the far away strand. There's a beautiful built by Jesus on high, there we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never roam. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never roam. Never grow old. Where we'll never more roam, we shall be in the sweet mind. Happy praise to your King, through eternity sing. 'Tis a heaven where we'll never shall die. I never grow old, never grow old. And our troubles and trials are o'er. All our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before. Never grow old, never grow old.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you set aside as yours. Lord, the day we meet remembrance of our Lord's glorious resurrection from the dead. He became the first fruits for the we that by your grace should follow. Father, I know so often we fall short. I pray, Lord, you would help us to discern and to know when we're not walking in accordance with, as Paul called, the truth of the gospel. And Lord, may that ever be our guide, not what men have determined, what church councils have decided, but Lord, what you set forth in scriptures. Father, we thank you that you've been pleased to reveal some things to us, and Lord, yet we're so aware of our own ignorance. We pray that you might continue to teach us. Lord, you might give us the grace to be obedient and to walk in accordance with those things that you would show us. Father, we thank you for your love, for our Savior, for that everlasting covenant, for that people that you chose in eternity. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our substitute, who took our place and was accepted. Father, I thank you for each one that's here, for those that you've brought together in this flock. We thank you for those that you've brought to visit with us in the recent past. Lord, we pray that you help us to be witnesses and testimonies, encouragements to all that come across our ways. Lord, we thank you that you're a sovereign God that rules and reigns in the affairs of men. Even when our world seems to be such a mess, our nation, even as Brother Dale alluded to know that we can have assurance in thee, to know that you're working your perfect will in the lives of your people. So, Father, may we go forth in confidence and in faith. Lord, again, thank you for this, your church. Thank you for one another. Thank you for your preserved word. Thank you for our Savior. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.